Welcome to day 48 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible reading Numbers 25 through 27. Worship of Baal of Peor. While Israel was staying at Shittim, the people began to have sexual relationships with the women of Moab. These invited the people to their sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. Thus Israel yoked itself to Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. The Lord said to Moses, "Take all the chiefs of the people and impale them in the sun before the Lord, in order that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel." And Moses said to the judges of Israel, "Each of you shall kill any of your people who have yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor." Just then one of the Israelites came and brought a Midianite woman into his family in the sight of Moses and in the sight of the whole congregation of the Israelites, while they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he got up and left the congregation. Taking a spear in his hand, he went after the Israelite man in the tent and pierced the two of them, the Israelite and the woman, through the belly. So the plague was stopped among the Israelites. Nevertheless, those who died by the plague were 24,000. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned back my wrath from the Israelites by manifesting such zeal among them on my behalf that in my jealousy I did not consume the Israelites. Therefore say, I hereby grant him my covenant of peace. It shall be for him and for his descendants after him a covenant of perpetual priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made atonement for the Israelites. The name of the slain Israelite man who was killed with a Midianite woman was Zimri, son of Salu, head of an ancestral house belonging to the Simeonites. The name of the Midianite woman who was killed was Cozbi, daughter of Zur, who was the head of a clan, an ancestral house in Midian. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, harass the Midianites and defeat them, for they have harassed you by the trickery with which they deceived you in the affair of Peor, and in the affair of Cozbi, the daughter of the leader of Midian, their sister. She was killed on the day of the plague that resulted from Peor." A census of the new generation. After the plague, the Lord said to Moses and to Eleazar the priest, "Take a census of the whole congregation of the Israelites, from 20 years old and up, by their ancestral houses, everyone in Israel able to go to war." Moses and Eleazar the priest spoke with them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho, saying, "Take a census of the people from 20 years old and up, as the Lord commanded Moses." The Israelites who came out of the land of Egypt were Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, the descendants of Reuben of Hanok, the clan of Hanukites of Palu, the clan of Paluites of Hezron, the clan of Hezronites of Carmi, the clan of Carmites. These are the clans of the Reubenites. The number of those enrolled was 43,730. And the descendants of Palu, Eliab. The descendants of Eliab, Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. These are the same Dathan and Abiram chosen from the congregation who rebelled against Moses and Aaron in the congregation of Korah when they rebelled against the Lord. And the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them along with Korah when the congregation died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a warning. Notwithstanding, the sons of Korah did not die. The descendants of Simeon by their clans, of Nemuel, the clan of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the clan of the Jaminites, of Jachin, the clan of the Jachinites, of Zerah, the clan of the Zerahites, of Shaul, the clan of the Shaulites. These are the clans of the Simeonites, 22,200. The descendants of Gad by their clans, of Zephon, the clan of the Zephonites, of Haggi, the clans of the Haggites, of Shuni, the clan of the Shunites, of Ozni, the clan of the Oznites, of Eri, the clan of the Erites, of Arad, the clan of the Aradites, of Arali, the clan of the Aralites. These are the clans of the descendants of Gad by the number of those enrolled by 40,500. The sons of Judah, Er and Onan. Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The descendants of Judah by their clans were of Shelah, the clan of the Shelonites, of Perez, the clan of the Perizzites, of Zerah, the clan of the Zerahites. The descendants of Perez were of Hezron, the clan of the Hezronites, of Hamul, the clan of the Hamulites. These are the clans of Judah by the number of those enrolled, 76,500. The descendants of Issachar by their clans, of Tola, the clan of the Tolites, of Puva, the clan of the Punites, of Jashub, the clan of the Jashubites, of Shimron, the clan of the Shimronites. These are the clans of Issachar by the number of those enrolled, 64,300. The descendants of Zebulun by their clans, of Sarad, the clan of the Saradites, of Elon, the clan of the Elonites, of Jalil, the clan of the Jalilites. These are the clans of the Zebulunites by the number of those enrolled, 60,500. The sons of Joseph by their clans, Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants of Manasseh, of Machir, the clan of the Machirites, and Machir, the father of Gilead, of Gilead, the clan of the Gileadites. These are the descendants of Gilead, of Iezer, the clan of the Iezerites, of Helek, the clan of the Helekites, and of Israel, Azrael, the clan of the Azraelites, and of Shechem, the clan of the Shechemites, and of Shemida, the clan of the Shemidites, of Hepher, the clan of the Hepherites. Now Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons, only daughters, and the names of the daughters of Zelophehad were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the clans of Manasseh. The number of those enrolled was 52,700. These are the descendants of Ephraim, according to their clans, of Shethuel, the clan of the Shethuelites, of Bekur, the clan of the Bekurites, of Tahan, the clan of the Tahanites. And these are the descendants of Shethuel, of Aaron, the clan of the Aaronites. These are the clan of the Ephraimites, by the number of those enrolled, 32,500. These are the descendants of Joseph by their clans. The descendants of Benjamin by their clans, of Bela, the clan of the Belites, of Ashbel, the clan of the Ashbelites, of Ahiram, the clan of the Hiramites, of Shephufafam, the clan of the Sephamites, of Hupham, the clan of the Huphamites. And the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman, of Ard, the clan of the Ardites, of Naaman, the clan of the Naamites. These are the descendants of Benjamin by the clans. The number of those enrolled was 45,600. These are the descendants of Dan by their clans, of Shuham, the clan of the Shuhamites. These are the clans of Dan by their clans. All the clans of the Shuhamites by the number of those enrolled, 64,400. The descendants of Asher by their clans, of Imnah, the clan of the Imnites, of Ishvi, the clan of the Ishvites, of Beria, the clan of the Berites, of the descendants of Beria, of Heber, the clan of the Heberites, of Malkiel, the clan of the Malkielites, and the name of the daughters of Asher were Sarah. These are the clans of the descendants of Asher by the number of those enrolled, 53,400. The descendants of Naphtali by their clans, of Jaziel, the clan of the Jazelites, of Guni, the clan of the Gunites, of Jezer, the clan of the Jezerites, of Shillem, the clan of the Shillemites. These are the clans of Naphtali by their clans. The number of those enrolled was 45,400. This was the number of the Israelites enrolled, 601,750. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, to these the land shall be a portion for inheritance according to the number of names. To a large tribe, you shall give a large inheritance, and to a small tribe, you shall give a small inheritance. Every tribe shall be given its inheritance according to its enrollment. But the land shall be apportioned by lot according to the names of the ancestral tribes they shall inherit. Their inheritance shall be apportioned according to the lot between the larger and the smaller. This is the enrollment of the Levites by their clan: of Gershon, the clan of Gershonites; of Kohath, the clan of the Kohathites; of Merari, the clan of the Merarites. These are the clans of Levi: the clan of the Libnites, the clan of the Hebronites, the clan of the Mahlites, the clan of the Mushites, the clan of the Korahites. The Kohath was the father of Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and she bore to Amram Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam. To Aaron were born Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered on holy fire before the Lord. The number of those enrolled was 23,000, every male 1 month old and up, for they were not enrolled among the Israelites because there was no allotment given to them among the Israelites. These were those enrolled by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who enrolled the Israelites in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. Among these, there was not one of those enrolled by Moses and Aaron the priest, who had enrolled the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, "They shall die in the wilderness." Not one of them was left except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. The daughters of Zelophehad. Then the daughters of Zelophehad came forward. Zelophehad was son of Hepher of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, and the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of his daughters were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. They stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and all the congregation at the entrance of the tent of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness. He was not among the congregation of those who gathered themselves together against the Lord in the congregation of Korah, but died for his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be taken away from his clan because he had no son? Give to us a possession among our father's brothers." Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad are right in what they are saying. You shall indeed let them possess an inheritance among their father's brothers and pass the inheritance of their father on to them. You shall also speak to the Israelites, saying, 'If a man dies and has no son, then you shall pass his inheritance on to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the nearest kinsman of his clan, and he shall possess it. It shall be for the Israelites a statute and ordinance, as the Lord commanded Moses.'" Joshua appointed Moses' successor. The Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain on the Abarim range and see the land that I have given to the Israelites. When you have seen it, you shall be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was, because you rebelled against my word in the wilderness of Zin when the congregation quarreled with me. You did not show my holiness before their eyes at the waters. These are the waters of Meribath Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin." Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, appoint someone over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom in the spirit, and lay your hand upon him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall give him some of your authority, so that all the congregation of the Israelites may obey. But he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the decision of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in. both he and all the Israelites with him and the whole congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole congregation. He laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord had directed through Moses. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The story of the daughters of Zelophehad expands upon a question that I have been reflecting on as we have read through the laws of the Torah and reflect upon the teachings of Jesus. Here is a situation where there is a gap in the law and Moses seeks God's instruction on how to respond. The written law will never answer all of our questions or tell us what to do in every situation. We need to learn the wisdom of the law and know the Spirit of God to then go to God in prayer. Sometimes the specifics of the law need to change in order to meet the spirit of the law. Now let's move to 1 Corinthians 9, 10, and 11. The rights of an apostle. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to our food and drink? Do we not have the right to be accompanied by a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord of Cephas? Of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have the right to refrain from working for a living? Who at any time pays the expenses for doing military service? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock and does not get any of its milk? Do I say this on human authority? Does not the law also say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it for the oxen that God is concerned, or does he speak entirely for our sake? It was indeed written for our sake, for whoever plows should plow in hope, and whoever threshes shall thresh in hope of a share in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we harvest material things? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we still more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right, but we endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who work in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is sacrificed on the altar? In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. But I have made no use of any of these rights, nor am I writing this so that they may be applied in my case. Indeed, I would rather die than that. No one will deprive me of my ground for boasting. If I proclaim the gospel, this gives me no ground for boasting, for an obligation is laid on me. And woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel, for I do this of my own will. I have a wage, but if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my wage? Just this, that in my proclamation I may make the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my rights in the gospel. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might gain all the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew in order to gain Jews. To those under the law I became one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might gain those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not outside God's law, but am within Christ's law, so that I might gain those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might gain the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a partner in it. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. But but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I should not be disqualified. Warnings from Israel's history. I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as they did them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not engage in sexual immorality, or some of them, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from the worship of idols. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless is it is not a sharing of the in the blood of Christ. The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Consider the people of Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices partners in the altar? What do I imply then? That food sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, I imply that what they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. You cannot drink the cups of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or are we provoking the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Do all to the glory of God. All things are permitted, but not all things are beneficial. All things are permitted, but not all things build up. Do not seek your own advantage, but that of the other. Eat whatever is sold in the meat market without raising any question on the ground of conscience, for the earth and its fullness are the Lord's. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you are disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it out of consideration for the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I mean the other's conscience, not your own. For why should my freedom be subject to the judgment of someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why should I be denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to others of the church or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Head coverings. I commend you because you remember me and everything and maintain the traditions just as I handed them on to you. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Any man who prays or prophesies with something on his head shames his head, but any woman who prays or prophesies with her head unveiled shames her head. It is one and the same thing as having her head shaved. For if a woman will not veil herself, then she should cut off her hair. But if it is shameful for a woman to have her hair cut off or to be shaved, she should wear a veil. For a man ought not to have his head veiled, since he is the image and reflection of God, but woman is the reflection of man. Indeed, man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for the sake of woman, but woman for the sake of man. For this reason, a woman ought to have authority over her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, in the Lord, the woman is not independent of man, or man independent of woman. For just as woman came from man, so man comes through woman. But all things come from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head unveiled? Does not nature itself teach you that? If a man wears long hair, it is dishonoring to him. But if a woman wears long hair, it is to her glory. For her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone is disposed to be contentious, we have no such customs, nor do the churches of God. Abuses at the Lord's Supper. Now, in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For to begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. Indeed, there have to be factions among you, for only so will it become clear that among you are genuine. When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper, for when the time comes to eat, each of you proceeds to eat your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have households to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. The institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Partaking of the supper unworthily. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If you are hungry, eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for your condemnation. About the other things, I will give instructions when I come. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? As we continue to make our way through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we are reading about problems that are happening within the community and Paul's response. Paul is continually bringing people back to the gospel grounded in the Hebrew Bible. Paul reminds people about all the times that the Israelites failed to live up to the will of God in the wilderness. We have been reading in Numbers the many times that people disobeyed God. Many of these instances led to death. Paul follows this reminder of the people's history with the guidance to do all to the glory of God. The statement, "All things are permitted, but not all things are beneficial," reminds me of the concept that just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. How do we know what behaviors are to the glory of God? Is this a reminder that we demonstrate our love of God through our love of neighbor? Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the sky, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.